In the Old Testament, in Isaiah 6, when Isaiah has that vision of God, when he sees God, he sees the holy, holy, holy. What happens to Isaiah? What happens to him? Is he dancing and staying there and everything? What happens to him? He's struck down virtually, isn't he? Struck down with the holiness of God. It just really cuts him down. And I want to read a devotion to you before we have our confession. I want to read a devotion to you, which we read just, Joy and I read together on Friday. And it's from Angus Buchan. You know Angus Buchan, some of you, the great South African evangelist who's a farmer, has some of the greatest evangelistic rallies in Africa. Angus Buchan. Now, this is what he says. A few years ago, I preached in a big church in Johannesburg. I had two services back to back with 10 minutes between the services. Ooh. At the end of the first service, the ushers were escorting me to a room where I could have a cup of tea before the next service. I had been speaking on forgiveness. This is the point. I'd been speaking on forgiveness. Before we could leave the auditorium, a lady in her mid-40s, dressed in black, hurried up to me, crying bitterly. She asked to speak to me. The ushers wanted to move her along, but I stopped and turned around. I asked them to leave us for a moment. I inquired what the problem was. Weeping, she told me, "I hate him. I hate him." Remember, this is on a sermon. This is after a sermon on forgiveness. I asked her whom she hated. She replied, "I hate the man who killed my daughter." I didn't ask her for the details or who had killed her daughter or how she had died. All I told her was that she had to forgive him. She told me she couldn't. I replied, "Yes, you can. You don't want to. If you cannot forgive him, then God cannot forgive you." That's pretty direct. I do seem to remember I've read that in the New Testament, though. Straight after the Lord's Prayer. The tears ran down her face. She was in an absolute state. "Will you do it?" I asked her. "Because I have to go." Remember that cup of tea? "I have to go." We were standing on the aisle and the ushers wanted to clear the auditorium, as you can imagine, because the new service was about to start. She said that she would forgive him. So I invited her to pray after me. "Dear Lord Jesus, I forgive." I told her to say his name. She gritted her teeth and said she couldn't say it. "You can and you have to," I said. "I forgive John," she said. And she passed out. Fell on the floor. She went down under the power of the Holy Spirit. As she lay there, a smile came over her face. She was tranquil and peaceful. We picked her up and she dusted herself off and she walked away totally transformed. "And that's what you're called to do," he says. So when we confess our sins today, if there's anything, something like that happening in your life, where there's somebody that you really struggle to forgive because of what they've done to you, and it might have been really awful what they've done to you, but you're still called to forgive them. And in our prayers of confession, we need to not just be rattling words off, but we need to have something in our mind. "Lord, I confess this and I pray that you would forgive me for this," whatever it is. So friends in Christ, let us confess our sins in the presence of God and of each other. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. We're reading from John 2 today, which I've already read to you.